We're holding on Ayn Tess Umud Bey's last few words, last line. We talked about yesterday the fact that that eating on Yom Kippur, the minimum amount for a person to be chayav, is not a kazayas as it is with most things that the Torah says you're not allowed to eat. Rather, it's a kachesevus, a gasim, so the size of a large date. And we said, actually, the reason is because the Torah doesn't actually say in so many words not to eat on Yom Kippur. Instead, it says you have to afflict yourself. And we said that the Chachamim figured out that a kesebes is the amount that a person will then not feel, will take the edge off their hunger. So now we're going to continue on that. Now we're going to continue on that point and compare it with another area of halacha where also, instead of a kezias, we have a different amount. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Kol HaShiurim Kolon B'Kazayis. All Shiurim, whenever it says in the Torah not to eat a certain amount of food, or in some cases to eat a certain amount of food, you have to eat matzah on Pesach, you have to eat korbanos, etc. So always it's a Kazayis. Chutz mitumas oichlin, with the exception of tuma of food, sheshina hakosev mashman, where the Torah gives us a different mashmos, as we're going to see soon, the pasuk phrases it a bit differently when it comes to tumas oichlin, and therefore b'shinu chachamim b'shiuran, and the chachamim therefore changed the shear and said that instead of a kezias, it's a larger amount, it'll be a kebetza, as we'll get to soon. Now, what we mean by the chachamim changing it, when we usually say, and we're going to say further on the, and we're going to say further on the Amud, that aren't shiurim halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, we're going to see it's not so simple. It's possible, at least according to some opinions, as we're going to say, that shiurim are actually something that were halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, but then it was forgotten, and then it was reconstructed by the chachamim. We'll get to that later. In any case, what we mean by the shiur of Tumas Oichlin being different, by the way, there you have a machlokes rishonim about that. Rashi and Rambam learn that what it means is, as far as becoming tameh themselves, food will become tameh with any amount. Even a tiny little bit of food can become tameh. Only as far as transmitting tuma to other food do you need a minimum amount, kabetza, as we're going to get to in a minute. Tosfos, on the other hand, Tosfos Yishonim quotes over here from regular Tosfos in various places that the Rashbam and Rabbi Natam say that no, for food itself to become tameh, also you need a kabetza. You look at the expression in Tosfos Yishonim is v'chol masi tochba mugvurasam, all of the like the expression at the end of the Megillah about Mordechai, all of their might and their power where they bring their powerful arguments. You can find in Tosfos in Shabbos and in Psachim where these concepts are discussed. Anyway, but as far as being the tamei other food, everybody agrees you need a kabeta. So that's one thing where we have different. It's not a kazayas, it's rather a kabeta. Uraya ladava yom kippurim. A proof to that is by Yom Kippur. That the same thing as we said that by Yom Kippur the Torah doesn't say eating; it uses a different lashon, and therefore that leads us to say that it's larger than a kazayas. Similarly, by Tumas Oichlin, since the Torah uses a different expression, it doesn't just say the word achila, as we're going to get to soon. Then it means it's a larger amount. So, my shina hakosav mashmoi, what do we mean by Yom Kippur that the Torah changed the phrasing, is, as we said, milois se'una. The pasuk says anybody who doesn't afflict themselves, doesn't say anybody asher toichal, that eats. In fact, in the Gemara tomorrow, we're going to talk about there's really no explicit lav in the Torah that says don't eat on Yom Kippur. There's sort of an implicit lav that says anybody who doesn't afflict themselves is going to get kares. But we'll take up that point tomorrow, Best Hashem. But in any case, since the Torah doesn't say lois seichal, instead it says lois seuna, then therefore that means that the amount is larger than a kezias, and therefore we said a kesebes. Umay shinu chachamim b'shiure. So what do we mean? The chachamim changed the shiur. It means kakesebes, as we said, that we, instead of a kezias, we evaluate it as the size of a kesebes, a large date. One possibility, some of the Mephoshim say, maybe what the Gemara means, given that we according to the opinions that we're going to say later, that shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, maybe what it is the shiur itself of a date is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. This that we talked about yesterday, that it's the size of a large date, is something the Chachamim clarified, that halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that we don't just mean the average size date, as we have, for example, with kabeitza, where the Mishnah in Kalim explains that we use an average size egg. Rather, it means that we use the largest date possible. Okay. So umay raya l'dava yom kippurim. What do we mean that? Why do we have to bring a raya from Yom Kippur to Tumas Eichlin? Why is Yom Kippur stronger, such that we should say, if it weren't for Yom Kippur, we wouldn't have known that Tumas Eichlin is a larger shia? What's it? Why is Yom Kippur stronger? So the Ime Hasim, if we only had the pasuk by Tumas Eichlin, whereas we're going to quote the pasuk in a minute, it does use the word, it does use a shodesh of achila. It just phrases it differently. But if you only had that pasuk, Mikol Ha'Eichel, Asher Ye'Achel, that we're going to quote in a minute, all the food that can be eaten, Havamina, then you would have thought that doesn't mean that it's a different shiur. Ucha Dekrahu, that's just the normal way of speaking all the food that can be eaten. So therefore, but now that we see that we have the example of Yom Kippur, where it doesn't use the word achila at all, and we know, and therefore that tells us it's not a kezias at all, it's a kesevis, therefore that gives us a basis for saying that the same thing. When it says by Tumas Eichlin, Mikol Ha'Eichel, Asher Ye'Ochel, then it means also that it's going to be some larger amount. So, Tumas Eichlin Kebetzim in Olan. So where do we know that? Tumas Eichlin requires a Kebetza. Again, according to Rashi and the Rambam, only to be metame other food, for itself to become tame, even a tiny amount will become tame. According to Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, also for it to, itself to become tame. Anyway, how do we know that the minimum amount is a Kebetza? Which Tosfos discusses over here at some length, the question of whether a beitza is equal to two kezesim or three, which is very negeya in halacha when we're trying to figure out the size of a kezias, which, for example, you know, nowadays we have the only mitzvah saseh where we have to eat something, daraisa, is matzah. So you get into the question how you evaluate the size of the kezias of matzah that you have to eat. One of the big things that factors into that is that question of whether there are two or three kezesim in a beitza. Tosfos discusses it at some length. Over here, there are a couple of other places where Tosfos also gets into a discussion pro and con of it. Anyway, so how do we know that Tumas Eichlin requires the size of a kebetza? Because the pasuk says, Mikol Ha'Eichel Asher Ye'Ochel, all the food that could be eaten. It doesn't just say all the food, in which case we would say a kezias as usual. It says all the food, all the Eichel Asher Ye'Ochel that can be eaten. That means the double expression means Eichel Abom Machmas Eichel. That means we have to evaluate according to a food item that comes from another food item. The Ezezeh, what is that? The Ezezeh, what is that? Zebetas Tanagolas, that's an egg from a chicken. The chicken lays an egg. The chicken itself is edible. The egg is edible also, as opposed to, for example, a kezias or any other kind of fruit comes from a tree where the tree itself is not edible. So therefore, that's how we know that it means an egg of a chicken. So the Gemara asks, why does it need to be an egg b'chlal? The emagdi, so maybe say that it should be the size of a newborn animal, which after all is also, it's edible, and it comes from a mother, which is edible. The answer is it's not yet. Right now, it's not called food, because mechusar shchita, it still needs shchita. Now, as far as, Rashi uses the expression that neither it nor its mother is yet considered food as far as tumah. Now, as far as the chicken, you could argue the same thing, that if a chicken lays an egg, the chicken hasn't been shechted yet. But the answer is, I think Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says, okay, but you could have a case, for example, where you shecht a chicken and find a baby and find an egg inside it, where you're allowed to eat those eggs. Depending on how developed the egg is, it may be hired or it may be fleshic, but whatever, that you are allowed to eat the egg as long as it reached a certain stage of development. So then you have that the mother and the egg are both food right now. Rashi, by the way, focuses more on the fact that it's not so much food as far as whether you can eat it, but food as far as tumah v'tahara. Now, the Gvura Sari actually asks on that why Rashi has to do that way rather than just saying we're talking about that it's food. In any case, the point is that when a baby animal is born, it still needs shchita. So besides the fact that it can't be eaten yet, more to the point, it's not makabel tumah yet. So it's not oichel abom machmas oichel until it's shechted. Okay, so the question is the Ema Ben Pekua. So what about, you could say that maybe the Torah is implying that for food, that for Tumas Eichlin, you need the size of a Ben Pekua, which is again, we shecht the mother animal. So similar to the case, you shechted a chicken, found an egg inside. You have a similar case where you shecht the mother animal and you find a baby inside. Where the din is, you don't need to shecht that baby. So therefore, on the face of it, the mother is already makabel tuma because it's been shechted and now it's an, and now it's an, and now it's food. Now it's usable for food. It's makabel tuma. The baby doesn't need to be shechted. So presumably right now it's available to use as food and therefore it's makabel tuma as well. So why don't we say that? Now, of course, the Gemara could answer as it's going to on a different question in a second. You could say tafasta marubala tafasta. But the Gemara has a better answer. The answer is ton kriya. Even the ben pekua is not ready to eat as is because you have to rip it open in order to get out the blood. Because the blood of the, even if you're going to say the ben pekua itself is mutter to eat, but the blood of it is also. So therefore, you have to at least do something to it, namely opening it up to take out the blood, as opposed to when an egg is laid, or even you shech the chicken and find the egg inside it, you don't need to. The egg is ready to eat as is. There was a different explanation from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yishaya, that says that actually what it is even though a ben pekua doesn't have to be shechted, you have to kill it somehow. You can't eat it alive. That would be Eva Menachai. So therefore, according to that, kodo means like stabbing it or ripping it open or whatever in order to kill it. And the point is the same idea. In other words, that without that, you can't eat it. Therefore, without that, it's not makabel tuma yet while it's alive. So therefore, it can't be a baby animal or even a ben pekua. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Ema beitzes bar yuchni." Okay, so maybe who says we're talking? Fine, let's say we're talking about an egg. Who says we're talking about the egg of a chicken? Maybe we're talking about an egg of a bar yuchni, which is a very, very large bird. Rashi refers over here to a Gemara in Bechoris that tells a story about how one time an egg from such a bird fell out of the nest, and it was so large that it splashed and destroyed 60 cities. Now, okay, you know, it's meant as a metaphor, and Marsha talks about over there, and other Mephoshim talk about what that metaphor represents, but the point is, still, the Gemara is using for that purpose a bird and its egg, which are very large. In the Aruch HaShalom, it suggests that maybe a bar yuchni is an ostrich, or an ostrich, of course, isn't kosher, and neither are its eggs, but fine, maybe the Gemara still means that after all, it would be mekabel tumas oichlin, because goyim will eat them. Anyway, the point is, how do we know it doesn't mean such a large egg as that? And the answer is the famous expression, tafasta merubah lo tafasta. If you try to grab too much, you haven't grabbed anything. Tafasta more, tafasta. But if you grab a little bit, then you've grabbed. In other words, and Rashi explains in other places what it means. In other words, if you're going to say that it means the egg of a bar yuchni, then I'm going to tell you, well, how do you know it means that? It could be even larger. Maybe there's some other larger bird out there that has an even larger egg, and that's what you have to be mashire. So you have no maximum value. Therefore, we can say that any amount that you say, well, how do you know it's going to be that large? But if you do something more normal size, like a chicken egg, then you can say, okay, it's reasonable to assume that that's the kind of egg the Pasuk is talking about, rather than going indefinitely large where you don't know. In the previous perek, in connection with the clothes of the Kohen of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot, Tosfos laid down a rule over there that where you have a potential maximum value, where like you only have a few possibilities, and you have a certain defined number of possibilities, then we don't apply tafasta merubah tafasta. But here, a bar yuchni is a very large bird, but it's not necessarily, its eggs are not necessarily the largest that are out there. Maybe there's some larger one out there. Therefore, we can apply this rule and say that if you're going to say it means a bar yuchni egg, you have no proof that it should be that large, and therefore, more logically, we have to use a smaller number. Okay, so then the question is, the ema beisa de tziporta. So in that case, go the other way around. Who says it means a chicken egg? Maybe it means the egg of a tziporta, which is a very small bird, a de zuto tova, which is extremely small. Rashi actually takes out the word zuto tova. And Mephoshim, I have a few different explanations why. One of them is because maybe the egg of a tziporta is even less than a kazayas, and less than a kazayas, there's no reason we should assume that it refers to that. There is actually an interesting explanation that maybe the word dezuto tova. Now, the Gemara leaves the question unanswered on the face of it, and the Gemara is going to give a different answer. The Rabbahu is going to give a different answer. However, there is actually an interesting explanation that maybe the words dezuto tova are actually the answer. The answer is it can't be the egg of a tziporta because it's so small, even smaller than a kazayas. There's no logical reason to say, given that there's no shear less than a kazayas, there's no reason to say that all of a sudden over here by Thomas Eichlin, it should be less than that. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara has, so on the face of it, though, the Gemara has left the question unanswered. How do we know that it's dafka, chicken, egg, rather than some other kind? So, Rabbi Bohu Didei Omar, Rabbi Bohu on his own gave a different answer. Before we had Rabbi Bohu quoting in the name of Rabbi Lazar, but that one we were left with a question. So instead, Rabbi Bohu comes up with an answer of his own, which we're not going to be able to refute. The pasuk says, "Mikol ha'oichal asher ye'ochol." He was a different way. Not that we're going to say that ha'oichal asher ye'ochol means food that comes from within food, and then that leads us to say it must be an egg, and then ask, well, what kind of bird's egg are we talking about? Rather, it means oichal shata oichal bevasachas. It means the amount of food that you could swallow at one time. The Chachamim figured out in Beis Abliya Yach Machsif Yotzim in Beis Tanagolus, the throat, when a person is swallowing something, can't fit more than a chicken egg. So that answers our question. So it can't be the egg of a tziparta, because that would be much less than a person could swallow at once. It can't be the egg of a bar yuchni, because that's much more than a person could swallow at once. The amount a person could swallow at once would be the size of a chicken egg, of an average-sized chicken egg. And therefore, that becomes the shear based on the fact that the pasuk says, asher ye'ochol, implying that you can eat it all at once. So again, here's where Tosfos gets into the question. There's a Gemara in Krisus that implies that a person can swallow two zesim at one time. Does that imply that two zesim equals one kibetza? But maybe not. Maybe the zesim are different because they're harder and they have pits inside them, etc., etc. So that leads Tosfos into a long discussion on the question of whether two zesim or three zesim make up a kibetza. And Shulchan Aruch, it mentions both opinions, and it says that in general we have to be machmir in each place in the as needed, which means when it comes to eating matzah, which is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, then you have to be on the safe side, consider that a kazayis is half of a kibetza, and then work appropriately. A point of Avraham Chaim, no, a kibetza is about 2 ounces, therefore the minimum you'd have to eat of matzah would be 1 ounce, which comes out to about half of one of our matzahs. If a person can't, then fine, they can get away with a third. And then, of course, according to the Chazon Ish, who makes all the shurim larger, then the amount of matzah you'd have to eat would also be proportionately larger. So that's, in any case, that's how we know that when it comes to Tumas Oichlin, you need a kibetza from this pasuk Mikola Oichel Asher Ye'ochel, and what gave the Chachamim the concept that it shouldn't be a kazayis unlike usual is because of the different expression, where we have a precedent from the fact that we have a different expression by Yom Kippur, and we say that it's not a kazayis there either. Okay. Talking further about Shiurim, nowadays, if a person eats chalev, when there's no Beis HaMikdash to bring a korban, he shouldn't just write down, I have to bring a korban. He should write down the amount that he ate. Well, Shema Yove, Beis Din Acha, V'yarbe B'shiurim, because a future Beis Din might come and make an increase in the shiurim. Now, what does that mean? My yarbe b'shiurim. What does that mean to increase the shiurim? E name of demachayvi korban a kazayis cotton. Do you mean that right now the accepted halacha is that you bring a chatas only for a medium-sized kazayis, but a later based in might decide instead that you're supposed to bring a chatas for a smaller-sized kazayis? Are you going to say that? And therefore, you have to write down. So let's say, for example, an average-sized kazayis is according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Na, an ounce. So let's say, for example, you're going to say that if a person ate half an ounce of chalev, he shouldn't write down, I need to bring a chatas when Mashiach comes. He should write, I ate a half ounce of chalev. And that way, in the future, it might happen that Beis Din is going to decide that a half ounce is a kazayis, and that makes him chayev in a korban. Now we're going to ask in the Gemara later, how does Yarbe B'Shiurim come to mean decrease the size? We'll get to that soon. But first, we have a different question. Can't be. In that case, the person wouldn't be chayev a chatas. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk says that a person has to bring a chatas for various isurim, including chaylev, the pasuk says, asher loisa aseneh b'shogaga, the person did something that he was not supposed to have done, b'shogig, v'oshem, and he was guilty, which we learn from that only because he did it b'shogaga, which means, hashov mi di osay, only if it's the kind of thing where if he had known a certain fact, then he wouldn't have done it. Shav, he would have returned back and not done what he's going to do. Midi osay, because he knows he's not supposed to. then maybe korban al shulam l'asay. That's the kind of person who brings a korban for his brother. Loy shav mi diyasa, ain't maybe korban al shulam l'asay. But if he's not shav mi diyasa, then he's not bring a korban. So now, in this case, he wouldn't have been shav mi diyasa. Because in this case, right. So in this case, right now. There's two major ways that achronim have of explaining that. The Mishnah Lamelech on the Rambam says that the vort is yes. Well, let's assume that what it means is the later Beis Din is going to determine that the earlier Beis Din made a mistake and decided the Kazayas incorrectly. Nevertheless, since that's only going to be known L'Asid Lavei when the Beis Mikdash is built, we can't call that Shav Midiyase right now. The other way of it is the Gvura Sari, who says, Bechlal, we don't have to assume the second Beis Din is going to say the first Beis Din made a mistake. A later Beis Din, in certain cases, is allowed to argue with an earlier Beis Din. So therefore, okay, you know, Ein L'chay L'shoyfet Sh'yir B'yamecha, in the time when he ate Chaleb, then it was in the time when he ate chaleb, there was no chiyuv chatos on eating a half an ounce, because at that time Beis Din had decided that only an ounce is considered a kazayas. The fact that a later Beis Din changes that doesn't affect things from before. If he had known at the time, okay, he wouldn't have eaten it fine because chatzishir also, like we learned at the beginning of the perek, but he wouldn't have said, oh, this is going to make me chayev and a chatos, and therefore I'm not going to do it. So therefore, there's no shav midiyase. So how can you say that if a later Beis Din were to make the shiurim smaller than that, then potentially he'd be chai v'chatos? He wouldn't. El or no, it means the other way around. Deloy mechai v'korban ad ikka kazayis gadol. On the contrary, what might happen is the later Beis Din might decide that you need a large kazayis. So instead of an ounce, they're going to say that a kazayis is an ounce and a half. So now, again, the point is, a person ate an ounce, which in nowadays is considered to be a chiyuv chatos, is considered to be a kazayas. Nevertheless, though, he shouldn't write down, I need to bring a chatos, because if a later Beis Din decides that you only bring a chatos for an ounce and a half, then it means he'd be bringing cholin la'azara, and therefore he should write down the amount and then see what happens when Beis Din decides it. So the Gemara asks, so l'may b'solak adayte mi'ikru d'mechai v'korban ha'kazayis katan. Okay, so we explain what Rabbi Lazar meant. He didn't mean that Beis Din might make the shiurim smaller. It meant just the opposite. It might make them larger. But leaving aside the question about shav midiyasa, anyway, how did we even think in the first place d'mechai v'korban ha'kazayis katan that it might mean that the later Beis Din might decide that a small kazayis is enough to be chayev? In that case, my yairib shiurim. How does that even fit with the wording of Rabbi Lazar that they might increase the shiurim? For that reason alone, we should have realized that's not what it could mean. Without getting into the hashav midiyase business, and shema yairib karbonas machmas shiurim. Conceivably, according to that way of understanding it, Rabbi Lazar might have meant that they're going to increase the number of korbanos that have to be brought as a result of the shiurim. In other words, just the opposite, like we assumed originally, that it might mean they're going to make the shiurim smaller and therefore the number of korbanos larger. We said that can't be only because of the shav midiyasei, but if it weren't for that, we could have explained it that way. Now that we brought in the factor of shav midiyasei, then that leaves us to say that Rabbi Lazar meant, in fact, that they might increase the size of what's considered a kazayis. We're going to mention soon, again, that we have different opinions about whether the shiurim, as we have them, a kazayis for this, a kabetza for that, etc., is all purely halacha l'moshe m'sinai, in which case a later Beis Din can't change that. They can't argue on halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Or whether, as we're going to say soon, that they were forgotten and then restored by later chachamim, in which case a later Beis Din could disagree with that reconstruction. So in fact, Rabbi Lazar might be holding, according to the opinion that we're going to bring soon, that those were reestablished by a later Beis Din because they were forgotten. Another possibility one of the Mephoshim brings is even if we say they are halacha l'mishmi Sinai, still we know even nowadays we have Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah's shiurim, we have Chazon Ish's shiurim, we have other less well-known ones. So conceivably what might happen is that nowadays the accepted halacha, let's say, is like Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, conceivably a later Beis Din might decide that rather what's considered to be a kazayis beinoni is larger, like the Chazon Ish. And therefore, so they're not arguing on the actual din that it's a kazayis beinoni, they're just arguing how to translate that into contemporary measurements. An interesting point in this, by the way, is it comes out from this Gemara that in general, if a person did an Avera that potentially might make them chayev chatos, then they should write it down, and then we'll also love it when Mashiach comes, they're in fact going to have to bring a chatos. You have the famous story in Masechta Shabbos as well, where Rabbi Shmuel one time was reading by candlelight on Shabbos, even though the Chacham said you're not allowed to, because he figured he's not going to adjust the wick. And in the end, he did, and he wrote down after Shabbos that when Mashiach comes, I'm going to have to bring a chatas. On the other hand, the fact is, the poskim, for the most part, don't bring this. The Magen Avraham brings it as an incidental thing in Hilchos Shabbos. The Alter Rebbe, who usually follows the Magen Avraham, doesn't bring it at all. There's a sicha from Tavshin Mem Aleph where the Rebbe talked about this at some length. And the gist of the Rebbe's explanation was, if a person lives with that it really is a reality to them, a constant ongoing thing, that Mashiach might come and the Bais Mikdash might be rebuilt any moment, then yes, that would be the kind of person, like Rabbi Shmuel, who would have to write it down and eventually bring a chatas when the time comes. For the average person who doesn't feel that as such a reality, and doesn't feel that as such an immediate thing, for them, we can't say that when they did the Aveda in the first place, they did it with any cognizance that if they had done it b'mezid, that if they had realized that there's a chatas involved, they wouldn't have done it, sort of like the Shav Midiyasu was saying over here, and therefore even when Mashiach comes, the average person is not going to be required to bring a chatas for such things, because at the time they did it, they really had no cognizance of that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be built anytime soon. And there are, by the way, also Meforshim who say that even this that we're saying that you have to bring a chatas might only be if the Beis Hamikdash is built while the person is still alive. If the person ends up dying and then coming back and tchias emesim, they may not need to because their death will have been mechaper for them. Okay. Moving on. The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, shiurim v'oinshin alocha l'moshim isinai. Rabbi Yochanan says that shiurim, meaning the shiur, this is a kezayis, this is a kebetza, etc., and oinshin, and the punishments for various aveiras, are both halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Now, the question is, halacha l'moshe m'sinai means, by definition, something that's not written in the pasuk, but we only know the Kabbalah going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you mean about oinshin? Oinshin michtav ksibi, the punishments for various things. This thing is chayiv karis, this thing is chayiv misas beiskin, that one is a chatas, etc., all of them it says explicitly in the pasuk. So what do you mean those are halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Ela hachikamar. You're right. What we mean is Amar Abjechin and Shiurim Shel Oinshin Halachal Moshe Misinai. What we mean is the Shiurim of punishments are halachal Moshe Misinai. Meaning, in other words, that Rabbi Yochanan himself said at the beginning of the parak, chati shiur also min atorah, that min atorah, for example, you're not allowed to eat a half kazayis of chaylev either. There's just no malchus or kares or what have you for it. So now he's saying the actual shear, that there needs to be a minimum of kezayis for a person to be chayiv for eating chaylev and so forth, but all the other ones, such things are halachal Moshe Misinai. Tani nami hachim, you learn similarly in a braise, shiurin shel oinshin halachal Moshe Misinai. Acherim oimrim, acherim, which usually means Reb Meir, says, beis dinesh yabit tiknum. They're not halachal Moshe Misinai. They were established by the Beis Din of Yabetz. Yabetz is another name for Asniel ben Knaz, the first one of the Shoftim. So Gemara says, what do you mean? How does Asniel ben Knaz and his Beis Din have the right to set such a thing up? V'aksiv Eila ha-mitzvahs, doesn't the Pasuk say at the end of the last Pasuk of Parshas of Chumash Vayikra, says these are the mitzvahs, implying only these mitzvahs, so only these that were given through Moshe are the mitzvahs. She'ein Novi Rashoi l'chad sh'dova me'ata, a Novi cannot come up with a new halacha, a new mitzvah in the Torah, and Asniel ben Knaz is already after Moshe had passed away. The answer is, Ela shchochum v'chozru v'yistrum. What we mean is they were forgotten. The Gemara tells us in Tmura that they forgot several thousand halachas after Moshe passed away. And then v'chozru v'yistrum. And then according to this opinion, Yabetz is based in, we set them up. And the Gemara says over there, Osnir ben Knaz figured out with his pilpul, was able to reconstruct all those halachas. So again, there was an explanation that what we said before, that according to Rabbi Lazar, a later Beis Din might come and change the Shiurim, he would be following the opinion over here, the opinion of Acherim over here, that the Shiurim that we have are based on Yabetz's reconstruction of them. And in that case, as great as Yabetz was, a later Beis Din can disagree with him and learn differently and therefore say that instead of a Kazayis Beinoni, for example, it's a Kazayis Gadol. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, would be disagreeing with that. He'd be following the Tanakama of the Braisa and say that they were never forgotten in the first place, as we have them as how they came from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore there's no arguing on them in future generations. Um, We said in the Mishnah, Hashoisa Maloy Lugmov, we said that if a person drinks Maloy Lugmov, literally Maloy Lugmov means the fullness of his cheeks. In other words, it sounds like it means the amount of liquid that would fill up both his cheeks. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Loy Maloy Lugmov Mamash, doesn't literally mean Maloy Lugmov, doesn't mean both cheeks full. It means that there's enough in his mouth, enough liquid in his mouth, that if he were to put it over to one side of his mouth, if he were to put it into one cheek, then it appears from the side as if both his cheeks are full, because you see only one cheek, and therefore you think the other one is full as well. So the question is, what do you mean? The Mishnah said, Maloy Lugmav, the amount that fills both cheeks. The answer is, okay, aim a kimloy logmov. It doesn't mean exactly the amount for both cheeks. It means the amount that's similar. It means, again, that it means that you'd look from the side and it would look as though both cheeks are full. The Gemara says mace, but we'll talk about at the end, Ves Hashem, how much that is in contemporary measurements. So the Gemara asks, so the Gemara says mace, you have a contradiction. A braisa says, kama yishtev yehei chayev, how much does a person have to drink on Yom Kippur and then he's chayev, as chayev kores or chatos, as the case may be. Beshama oimim revius, Beshama says he has to have drunk at least a revius, or Beshilo oimim maloy lugmav, Beshilo says maloy lugmav, and Rabbi Yehuda oimim mishum revelozer, kim loy lugmav. Now that's going to be the question. If Maloy Lugmav and Kim Loy Lugmav is the same thing, then where's the machlokes? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, I'm a kedei gemia. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that it's an even smaller amount, the amount that a person could gulp down at one time. So therefore, so again, Beshilo is saying Maloy Lugmav sounds like it means his two cheeks full. So Gemara says, so what? That's a braisa. Mi adifim masnisin. Is the braisa any stronger than the Mishnah? The Rukimna Kadesh Yiroh. And we're saying that the Maloy Lugmav of our Mishnah doesn't mean Maloy Lugmav, it means Kimloy Lugmav. Hochanami, you could say the same thing in the braisa. It means Kadesh Yiroh, means enough that it appears like Maloy Lugmav, but really it's only on one side. The question then is, Ihochi Heiner Rebbe Lozer, nu, isn't that then the same thing, Rebbe Eliezer rather, isn't that the same thing as Rebbe Eliezer is saying? You have, on the face of it, you have four opinions in the Braisa, Bes Shammai, Bes Hillel, Rebbe Eliezer, and Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira. If you're going to tell me Maloy Lugma for Bes Hillel and Kimloy Lugma for Rebbe Eliezer are the same thing, then you only have three opinions. The answer is, Ikke Benayim Maloy Lugma Dochuk. The Nafkamina between Bes Hillel and Rebbe Eliezer would be, do you need that actually, do you need that it's really pushed in tightly? Or rather, what it is according to this Hillel, what it means is it's enough when is the person chayev, it has to be that it's really bulging out as much as possible so that it's very clearly a cheekful, and then you figure the other side is probably the same thing, and therefore it looks like a double cheekful. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer would be saying it means dochuk, it means it doesn't really have to be that full. It can be a little bit less full, which means it's more machmir on Bes Hillel, but not by much. Okay, so the question is, maskif lo Rav Hoshea, im kein, if you're going to say that we don't mean maloy lugmav, we mean kimloy lugmav, we mean one cheekful, and that is less than a revius. If it was two cheekfuls, then it would be over a revius. And Tosfos discusses over here, what about when it comes to drinking from Kiddush, the same thing, that we'd say it would be Kimloy Lugmav. You don't have to drink more than a revius, you have to drink less than a revius, and then you yotze Kiddush. But if you're going to say that our Mishnah also, when it says Maloy Lugmav, really means Kimloy Lugmav, and therefore it means only one cheekful, and fine, you're going to get into it, does it mean the cheekful is completely bulging out or a little bit less, like Rebbe Eliezer? Anyway, Imkein, Havalei Mikulei Bes Shammai, Umechumer Bes Hillel. Wouldn't that be one of the cases where Bes Shammai is Mekel and Bes Hillel is Machmer? Because Bes Shammai is going to be saying he's Chayev Kores only if he drinks a full Revius, and Bes Hillel is going to be saying less. Now, we have in Masechta Adius, it lists all the machlokes in where Bes Shammai is Mekel and Bes Hillel is Machmer, seeing as how those are unusual, as we know it's usually the other way around. So if we were going to say Maloy Lugmav meant two cheeks full, okay, that's more than a revius, it comes out. Bes Hillel is Mekel, as they usually are. But if you're going to tell me that it means only one cheekful, then it comes out with Hillel as being Machmir and with Shammai as Mekel, and why isn't that listed in Adius? Amar Leih, so he answers him, ki itchil, when the original question was asked in the Beis Medrash, how much does a person need to drink to be chayev, v'od melech haboshen itchil. The original question was regarding somebody very large, like od melech haboshen, a physically very large person. To have a loy, b'shamay l'chumra, and in that case, b'shamay does come out being machmir, because it comes out, in other words, for such a person, meloy logmav, even one cheekful, would be much more than a rabbis. Therefore, it comes out that in such a case, b'shamay would be machmir. When do we say, when do we have listed in Adius, that b'shamay, the cases where b'shamay is makel, is only when b'shamay is always makel. In this case, sometimes they're makel, sometimes not, depends on the size of the person. So therefore, we can't say as a blanket statement that Bishamai is Makel, because sometimes they're going to be Makel, and sometimes they're going to be Machmir, depends on the size of the person. The question now becomes Maske for Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira asks, before you get into Maske for Rav Zeira, it's going to come out then, we're saying that, it's going to come out that Meloy Lugmav depends on the size of the person. A larger person is going to have a larger Meloy Lugmav, a smaller one is going to have a smaller one. An interesting point, actually, in this connection, the Ran says it's really very difficult to determine the exact amount of kimloy lugmav, because and the Rid adds to that, really the only way you can measure is to have the person put their head downward. If you have a person stands up, if a person keeps their head upright and fills up their cheek with liquid, and inevitably some of it is going to run down their throat. The only valid way to measure it would be the person would have to put their head with their face down, and then you can put liquid in their cheek and measure it. There is, in fact, in that connection we were talking about before, the Shiurim of the Chazon Ish, where essentially what he does is he bases himself on the Noda B'Yehuda, where the Noda B'Yehuda did some calculations and came out that many of the things we have nowadays, such as the eggs, are half the size they were in the times of the Gemara. So, for example, the average egg nowadays is around 2 ounces, and Rav Avraham Chaim Noah bases himself on that and says that a kibetza is 2 ounces, but the Noda B'Yehuda made a calculation and says it seems to come out that in the times of the Gemara, an egg was larger than that. It was closer to 4 ounces. And the Chazon Ish bases his shiurim on that. So they ask a question on him now. A revius, we know, is the equivalent of 1.5 eggs. We know that from other Gemaras. So Mela, if you say, like Rav Avraham Chaim Noah, that a kibetza is 2 ounces and a revius is 3 ounces. Sure, a person can fit 3 ounces of liquid in their cheek. But according to the Noda B'Yehuda's and the Chazon Ish's way of looking at it, you're going to say a person is going to be able to fit 6 ounces of liquid in their cheek. How is a person able to do that? The Mishnah Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim, right? It's Mishnah Berurah that he did some experiments and found that it's really impossible to do that. So you can't get anywhere near 6 ounces in a cheek. So how does that fit with the Noda B'Yehuda and the Chazon Ish? So the Chazon Ish answered on that. He said, you know what, like we're saying in the Gemara over here, you have to really stretch out the cheek to the maximum. Maybe when the Chafetz Chaim did his experiments, he didn't have the people bulge out their cheeks to the absolute maximum. Maybe if they did, they would have been able to fit 6 ounces in there. But this is one of the proofs that's brought towards Rav Avraham Chaim Noah's Shitta, which is what we generally follow, that in fact the beitzim we have nowadays are pretty much the same size as the ones they had then, and therefore that a kibetza would be about 2 ounces and a kazayas would be about 3 ounces. A revius would be about 3 ounces. Okay. So the Gemara says, maski for Rav Zeira. So now Rav Zeira says, I have a question on this. Maishna gabi achila. So what's the difference when it comes to eating? The kochad b'chad b'kakeseves. We say that every person will give the same shear. If they eat a keseves agasa, then they're chayev. Umaishna shsia, as opposed to by drinking the kochad b'chad b'gidei. We were saying we measure each person according to their cheekful. What's the difference? And by the way, again, given that it's different for each person, the Meloy Lugmav, we can't really give a figure, but for the average person, the poskim are willing to accept that Meloy Lugmav is about an ounce and a third. They say about 40 cubic milliliters, which comes out to about an ounce and a quarter or an ounce and a third or thereabouts. So therefore, again, if you have to give a person to drink on Yom Kippur, or if a person himself has to drink on Yom Kippur, ideally he should drink less than that at a time, and then wait, and then drink again. Of course, if you can't do that, if it's going to be Pikuach Nefesh, then you just give him more than that at a time. So why is it, Rav Zeira asks, that by food we have a standard amount for each person, and by drinking we're saying up? Amalei Abaya says, because like this, Kim lehu l'rabbanan, the Chachamim have figured out, the Chachamim know for a fact, b'kakeseves, when it comes to eating food, that if a person eats a keseves, debahachim yasvadaite, only if he eats a keseves worth of food is it going to calm him down and make him then take the edge off his hunger. But less than that, it's not, and therefore he still feels the affliction of Yom Kippur, and therefore he's still chai, therefore he's still potter. The shtia, on the other hand, the Chachamim also figured out drinking is different. All you need is for him to drink one cheekful of liquid, his own cheekful, which is going to depend, which is going to vary from one person to another. And then that's already enough to take the edge off his affliction, and therefore that's how it is. That's just the nature of things, that eating and drinking are different things, and a person is miyas v'dayte, a person feels better after with eating, only after he eats a standard amount, whereas with drinking, it's going to depend on his size. So the question is then, maskif for Rabzera, but b'chola olam kula b'chakaseves, oig melech haboshan b'chakaseves. We just mentioned before about oig melech haboshan, or somebody physically large like that, and you're telling me that when it comes to Maloy Lugmav, it's going to depend on his size, on the size of his cheek, how much liquid he can put in his cheek, and therefore what's going to be miyas v'dayte. All of a sudden, you're going to say with food, though, you're going to say that a keseves is going to work the same for oig melech haboshan and for everybody else. How is that? Doesn't he have a much larger appetite? Amalei Abaya, Abaya answers him as follows. The Chachamim know for a fact that a keseves is going to calm him down, is going to make him feel better. And they know that less than that, he's not going to feel better. He's still going to feel very hungry and very afflicted. Mihu, so the difference is, what's the difference between a regular person, an Oig Melech HaBashan, not the immediate effect it has, but the longer term effect. Kula Alma Tshuva, for a regular person, the effect of the Keseves lasts a long while. For Oig Melech HaBashan Purta, for Oig Melech HaBashan, it lasts only a very short amount of time because he has a larger digestive system. But for the moment, when he first eats that Keseves, it has the same effect on Oig Melech HaBashan as it does on anybody else, and therefore that's reason enough to be Mechayiv him if he eats that amount. Because for that moment, at least, he's not feeling the asher lo su'una. Okay, maskif lo rabzeira. So rabzeira asks further on that. In that case, what about different kinds of food? Basar shaman v'kakaseves v'lulav gfanim v'kakaseves. How can we say that it doesn't matter the amount of food? The Mishnah just said generically any food a person is chayiv if he eats a kaseves. So you're telling me whether he eats fat meat, which definitely takes the edge off a person's hunger, or whether he eats lulav gfanim, which are thin growths that grow thin little things that grow out of a grapevine, the little tendrils that help hold it up when the grapevine climbs. Those, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, those a person is chayev for eating them on Yom Kippur, because they're considered food, depending on certain circumstances, depending how long ago they grew, whatever. We'll get into that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The point is, you're telling me no matter what kind of food, it's always going to be a keseves of any kind of food is going to have the same effect on a person's appetite. How is that? And again, Amalei Abaye, yeah. Yes, the Chachamim figured out that it takes a keseves to take the edge off the person's hunger and to calm him down and make him feel good and not feel afflicted. And less than that, if not going to calm him down. Mihu, again, the answer is basar shaman tshuva. So if a person eats fat meat, a keseves, a fat meat, then it'll take a long while before he feels hungry again. Lulavekfanim, he's going to eat them fine. A minute later, he's going to feel hungry again. But for that minute, he didn't have Asher Lesu'una. And obviously, if Oig Melech HaBashan eats Lulavekfanim, it's going to be even less. It may just be a few seconds. But nevertheless, that's enough. There is a certain Miyas V'dayte for that very short amount of time. Likewise, Maskif La Rava. Rava asks another question. Now, we know that when it comes to eating, always we have, besides that you have to have an amount, kazayas, as we said with most mitzvahs in the Torah, a kasebis in connection with Yom Kippur, always it has to be within the same time, within b'chdei achilas pras. And if it's further apart than that, then the two things don't combine together. So we have it, for example, by matzah and pesach, we always talk about that you have to eat the kazayas b'chdei achilas pras. Again, how to translate Kedei Achilas Pras into modern measurements, into a time, you have, there are opinions all over the place among the poskim, anywhere from as little as 2 minutes to as long as 15 minutes. Majority opinions are somewhere between about 2 and 9 minutes. The Tamar Tzedek in one place says 6 minutes, in another place he says 7 minutes. It's brought in the name of the Alter Rebbe, 8 minutes. And then there are posts, we'll say 4 minutes. And then there are actually some of the Achronim, the Minchas Chinuch, and a couple of others who say there's no real fixed amount for Kedei Achilas Pras. It depends on the type of food, different kinds of foods people are going to eat at different speeds. And therefore it's going to be different for each kind of food. Anyway, so Maskif La Rava, Kezayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, for Kesevis Bechdei Achilas Pras. How can you tell me that for eating a Kezayis, for example, for the mitzvah of eating matzah, or for the Isurim of eating Chelev or other such things, that if a person eats, if a person delays in the middle more than Kedei Achilas Pras, then it doesn't count. And a Kesevis, which we established before, is larger than a Kezayis, also you're going to say is Bechdei Achilas Pras? What's the logic? And again, Amalei Abaya, same logic as before. Kim lahu that abonin de bachachim yas v'daite. The chachamim figured out that it takes a kesebes and it takes within the chdechelas pras to calm him down, to make him not feel the affliction of Yom Kippur. But if he takes any longer than that, it's not going to have that effect on him. Therefore, yes, it's true, it's a larger amount. It's kesevis versus kezayis, but nevertheless, it still is the same kind of thing, where if the person eats it with more than a delay of that, it's not going to have that effect on him. It's not going to take away the inui of Yom Kippur. Therefore, he's not going to be chayiv. There is, by the way, a machlokes we're showing him. What about when it comes to drinking? Do we also say b'chdei achilas pras? Or the Rambam says that no, when it comes to drinking, then the amount is actually kadesh sias revis. That the amount would be, if the person drinks the maloy lugmav, the one cheekful, like we said before, within the amount of time that it would normally take to drink a revis, which is, of course, going to be a lot less than kadesh achilas pras. So according to the Rambam, it comes out to, it comes out, a chumra and a kula, it comes out. In other words, if a person were to drink a cooler in the sense that if a person drinks a half maloy lugmav, and then a minute later drinks another half maloy lugmav, he's going to be potter. On the other hand, it comes out of chumra according to the Rambam that if a person needs to drink on Yom Kippur, then he can drink the half Maloy Lugmav, and then a minute later he can drink another half Maloy Lugmav, and he's not going to have violated Inri because it's longer apart than Kadesh Sias Revias. As opposed to if you say that's Kadesh Achilas Pras, then he's going to have to wait a considerably longer amount of time between one drink and the next. Another question about this business of Kedei Achilas Pras, Maskif La Rava, because Sevis Kedei Achilas Pras and Chatzi Pras Kedei Achilas Pras. Here's another case where we have that if you eat a little bit and then you pause and then you eat a little bit more, then it's not Mitzvah if it's longer than Kedei Achilas Pras apart. Namely, the Midrabbana, well, at this point, the Gemara doesn't realize that it's Midrabbana yet. If a person eats a half a pras of Tomei food, then he becomes Tomei and he can't eat Truma. Now there's a machloikus, in Erevin, whether a pras is the amount of 6 or 8 eggs. Here we're talking a half a pras, a pras of it, it's machloikus over there, whether a whole loaf is 6 or 8 eggs, a pras means half of that, so therefore it would be 3 or 4. And here we're talking about that a person eats a half of that, a half a pras, then so that would be 1.5 or 2 eggs, respectively, according to those two opinions. So if a person eats that amount of tummy food, then they're not allowed to eat truma. Then they become tummy. Then they become tummy, and they're not allowed to eat truma. So again, Rava says, what's the logic that if a person is going to eat only a keseves on Yom Kippur, and he eats it far apart enough, more than Kedei Achilas Pras, it's not going to combine together, but how can we say a Chatzi Pras, which is much larger than that, because a Chatzi Pras, we're saying, is at least the size of 1.5 eggs. A keseves, we established yesterday, is less than the size of 1 egg. So a Chatzi Pras is at least double that, or maybe even close to triple that. So you're telling me that also the shear is b'chdei achilas pras, that if he delays more than k'dei achilas pras, then it shouldn't combine together? What's the logic? Amalei Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, hanach l'tumas gviyah d'lav d'araisi. Set aside, leave aside this case where a person's body becomes tamei by eating tamei food, d'lav d'araisi, it's not d'araisa. So therefore, it's only d'rabbanan, therefore the chachamim were makel on it. Now, Tosfos points out Tosfos Yishanim over here, and regular Tosfos and Tosfos in some other places discusses. Now, we know, we learned in Masech the Shabbos that there's a, such a thing called the Yud Ches Dover. Shortly before Churban Bayis Sheni, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were together over there in the attic of Hananiah and Chizkiah and Gorin. Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel at that point, even though usually Beis Shammai is the minority. This time they were the majority, and they were goyim of 18 gzeiros. And among the gzeiros, the Gemara mentions over there in Shabbos is ha'oichel oichel rishon va'oichel oichel sheni, that if a person eats food that's tamei, then he becomes tamei and he's not allowed to eat truma. Now, on the face of it then, this is the gzeira we're talking about. On the other hand, Tosfos says, if that's the case, the Chacham, we know perfectly well that the Yud Ches Dover are Dirabanan. So the Gemara wouldn't have even had a question about it in the first place. It must be, Tosfos says, originally, it must be that there were two different gzeiras. Originally, a person eats this amount of food, he's not allowed to eat truma. That was a much earlier gzeira, so early that the Gemara thinks it might have even been something d'oraisa, and Rav Papa has to answer that actually it's only Dirabanan. And then you have later, in the Yud Ches Dover, they made a gzeder that a person who did that, who ate X amount of tamei food, not only is not allowed to eat truma, which is the earlier gzeder, he's not even allowed to touch truma. He's going to be tamei. But so according to that, that would be why Rav Papa has to point out over here that Tumas Gvia is not Deraisa, because it's such an early gzeder, long before the Yud Ches Dover, that we wouldn't have realized that it's Dirabanan if Rav Papa hadn't pointed it out to us. Okay, the question is, did Rav Papa really say that? That Tumas Gvia, this case where a person eats tamei food and becomes also to eat truma, is only Dirabanan. The Pasuk says, V'loisi tamu behem, you should not become tamei by eating them. In context, the Pasuk is talking about eating shrotzim. Then it's mason bomb, and you would become tamei through them. Now, it can't mean that it's also to become tamei, because even a Yisrael certainly is allowed to become tamei. Even a Koyan is only not allowed to become tamei mess. He's allowed to become tamei by sheretz. So what would the pasuk mean implying that you're not allowed to become tamei? But Amar Papa Mikansha Tumas Gvia Doraisa, and Rav Papa says from here we see the concept that if a person eats tamei food, he becomes tamei is Doraisa. So what is Rav Papa himself telling us is only Dirabanan? The answer is Midrabanan. It really is only Dirabanan. Okra, Smachta Ba'alma. The pasuk is really an Asmachta. Mainly we use it for a drasha that we learned previously in our Masechta. Rashi brings that if a person is Matame himself a little bit, then Hashem makes it much more possible for him to become Tame. Boli Tame Poischin Loy, as the Gemara says. And the flip side of it, Boli Tire, that if a person comes to become Tare, Messiah knows that Hashem assists him with that. But that's the main thing. We learned from the pasuk, this the business about Tumas Gvia is only an Asmachta of the pasuk. Okay. So that's that then. So the bottom line is that, yes, any kind of food a person eats on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayiv if he eats a kesevis of it, b'chdechelis pras, doesn't matter what kind of food, doesn't matter his size. The Chachamim figured out that in all cases it's going to make him feel better at least momentarily. On the other hand, when it comes to drinking, then it's going to depend on the size of the person, because again, the Chachamim figured out that when it comes to drinking, it depends on the size of the person, how much it's going to be miyas v'daitiv.
Okay. And what happens when you eat a kaseves and it's not b'achilas pras? Is he chayav? Is he not chayav?
Then he's not chayav.
What?
In fact, for that reason, again, if we have to feed a person on Yom Kippur because he's sick or whatever, what we try to do ideally is we give him less than a kaseves, then we wait the amount k'de'achilas pras, and then we give him another kaseves. If he can manage with that, then good. That way, at least he hasn't been over on a daraisa level, or maybe on a fine chatzishir osam and atorah according to Rav Yechanan. Fine, it was daraisa, but at least he didn't reach the amount that would make him chayev for any kind of penalty min atorah, and therefore that's the better way of doing it. If that doesn't work, then pekuach nefesh doich kalatorah kola, as we're going to learn later in the parak. So therefore, we give him as much as he needs.
Shkeiach.
Okay, wait. We still have a few more minutes. Let's run down a little more. The Mishnah had said kol oichlin, that all foods combine together to make up the kaseves. So in this connection, Amar Papa achal umtsa umnulcha. If a person eats meat with the salt on it, mitzanef, then they combine together. Now, salt by itself is not something that a person normally eats, and we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that if a person eats something which is not normally edible, then he's potter. It's also to do, but he's potter. But kiven da'achli inchi, but since people normally eat the meat with salt on it, with stipend, then it does combine together, and the salt helps make up the shiur kesevis. Likewise, Amar Shlokish, Sirshah, Gabi Yerek, Mitzdarach, the Kakasevis, Vienna Kippurim, sauce on vegetables also counts toward the Kasevis. So the question is, Pshita, isn't that obvious? I mean, okay, the next Mishnah is going to say that if a person eats tzir by itself, then he's potter. But once we already know, once we already know that salt combines, and by the same logic that tzir is going to combine, the answer is, Maudetema mashkuhu, because you might have thought that the tzir is considered a liquid, and we said in the Mishnah that foods and liquids don't combine, so therefore you would say it doesn't combine. Kamash malan, therefore a puppet, therefore a shlokish is telling us that no, this is different. Kolach shurei oichla oichlu. When it's coming to make the food more edible, it's coming, the sauce on the vegetables is coming to make them taste better, then it's considered like the food. Tosfos Hashanim points out there are other areas in halacha where it would be considered a liquid. For example, that if a person, when you dip vegetables in a sauce, then you have to wash for them, like we do on Pesach night. But for this purpose that we're talking about over here, as far as the dinim of Yom Kippur, for this purpose it counts as the food, and therefore it counts toward the kesevis. In this connection, Amar Reish Lakish, ha'oichal achila gasa b'yom kippur im potter. If a person eats on Yom Kippur, achila gasa, meaning that he's full. So Rashi says, let's say he's full from the Suda Mafsekis, and now he eats again on the night of Yom Kippur, so he's completely full. There are various places where Tosfos explains that there's two kinds of Achila Gasa. You can have one kind where the person is full, but not so much that he's nauseated by food. So then there are places where the Gemara refers to such Achila Gasa. It's not the best way of eating, but it is considered eating in Halacha. A person would be Yotza, for example, if he ate the Korban Pesach that way. Versus the kind of Achila Gasa we're talking about over here is the kind where the person is nauseated by the sight of food because he's eaten so much he can't really eat another bite, and yet he forces some down. That kind was saying he'd be potter for doing on Yom Kippur. Not that he's allowed to do it, but he'd be potter. My time, I show list to Unuxim. Why? Because the Pasuk says he doesn't afflict himself. Prapla mazik. As opposed to, therefore, when he's mazik, he's not taking away any inui. He's damaging the food because he's not doing anything useful with the food. He's damaging himself, so therefore he's not over on Asholei Se'una. It's still also to do, but he's not chayav kares or chafas for it. Similarly, Omer of Yumi or Omer of Shlokish, Zor Sha'ochal Truma Achila Gasa, by the same token, if a Zor eats Truma in this way, as Achila Gasa, that he already is over full and now he's eating and forcing it down when he's completely nauseated by it. So we don't apply, usually when a Zor eats Truma B'Shoigig, he has to pay a Keren B'Choymish. But over here, we don't do that. Over here, Meshalamas HaKeren Ve'ena Meshalamas HaChoymesh. He only has to pay the Keren, not the Choymesh, because Ki Yoicho Prat Hamazik. Because the Pasuk says, if a person eats Truma, implying that only if he eats it when it's considered eating. This isn't considered eating. Prat Hamazik, this would be considered that he's Mazik it. And similarly, the Amr Abiyumi, Amr Abiyachin, and Zor Shekoisis Sa'odim Shal Truma, if a Zor chews and swallows barley of Truma, where koisis, Rashi explains, is an expression for eating something not in the normal way. You don't normally eat raw barley, but like this he did, he took barley of truma and ate it raw. Meshalamas hakeren, vein meshalamas hachoymesh, same thing. He only pays the keren, not the choymesh, like any other mazik, because again, ki yoicho prat mazik, the special din of paying the keren v'choymesh, and that he has to pay with actual fruit, which then becomes truma, that only applies to a person who eats truma. Here we don't consider that he ate it. Here we consider he damaged it, and the usual rule of a mazik, he only pays the keren. And one more din in this connection, Amr of Shizvi, Amr of Yechanan, Zor Shabolash Zofin Shal Truma, if a Zor swallowed Shzofim of Truma, Shzofim Rashi translates as prunes, meaning plums, so he swallowed them without even chewing them, Vehekion, and then he spit them up, Ve'ochlan Acher, and somebody else then goes and eats them. Tosfos Hashanim discusses over here that we may possibly mean where the other person doesn't know that the first person had eaten them and had swallowed them, because otherwise if he knows about it then you wouldn't consider it food at all. So we could be talking about where the second one doesn't know b'chlal that it was eaten. Then Tosfos Hashanim brings from Reb Chaim Koyen that here it's a special case with Truma, because once the first person ate it, then it became the Schalo. Anyway, V'ochon Acher, so now you have somebody else ate these plums. Rishon Meshalamas Keren Mechoymish. The first one, as usual, has to pay the Keren Mechoymish, because even though he didn't chew them, but swallowing plums is considered a normal enough way of eating, because they go down easily enough. So he has to usually do the usual thing, pay a Keren Mechoymish, meaning that he has to go buy that equivalent amount of plums and give them to the Koyen, and they become Truma. Sheni, on the other hand, the second one who ate them after the first one spit them out, Ein Meshalim, and the Dmei Eitzim, Rishon Bilvad, he has to pay the first one only the value of them as firewood because they're not considered food anymore. The only thing they could have been used for at this point is as firewood, and therefore that's all he's chayav to pay. So again, one possibility is that we're talking about he didn't know that they had previously been eaten. Otherwise, maybe we wouldn't even be mechayev the second one at all. And another possibility, again, Tosfos Hashanim, Bunus from Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, that in this special thing with Truma, as soon as the first one ate it, he was mechalal it. So therefore, it doesn't really matter whether the second one knows that it was swallowed or not. Either way, the point is that once the first one ate it, it's neschalal, now the second one is not chayav for it under the dinim of Truma anymore, just under the regular dinim of Mazik. Okay.